Welcome to the 20 Sides and Improvised Chapter 1 Epilogue, where we will sit down, discuss some fan questions, some of our initial reactions, and just have a good old chat about the contents of Episodes 1 through 7 of 20 Sides and Improvised. If you have any questions you'd like us to answer, feel free to send them to brain.cake.yt on Instagram, and who knows, maybe we'll tackle it in the Chapter 2 Epilogue. But without further ado, let's get into some dicey discourse.
20 Sides and Improvised would not be possible without contributions by cake lovers like you.
Keep one headphone in to kind of help monitor it a little bit.
Yeah.
To see how we're sounding. But, man, that was very, very high definition squee from AJ right there. As we are sitting in the same room for 20 Sides and Improvised. They all get excited when they hear me use my DM voice. all right, hell yeah. What's going on, Pete? It's been so long since we've seen each other.
It's been a minimum year since we last were in the same room.
March 2020.
What month are we in now?
July 2021.
So I don't know when we're listening to this.
And the last time we played was April.
Yeah, it's been 3 months since we played. And it's the first time in like a year and a half we've played in the same room, which is even more ridiculous because we're, well, we're messing with new equipment and all that fun stuff, but in terms of perspective, we're recording this in the lead-up to Episode 7 coming out. So, and we recorded Episode 7, like...
Jesus.
Like, the stuff for that was two different recording sessions, too.
Yeah.
Like, one of them was at your house, Justin, and the other one was in, like, this adjacent room that we're recording in right now. But that's super cool. But what we're going to want to do first is... Due to a suggestion of our good friend Logan Arnold, a listener of the show and was one of my first DMs.
Hi, Logan.
What's up, Logan? Thank you for suggesting this. We're doing a bit of a table talk conversation episode that we're going to record real fast as also a segue for us leading into recording what I'm imagining is going to be like episode 20-ish. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Who fucking knows? But we're going to just... answer some questions that Logan sent us and address anything that we maybe like want to talk about more from episodes 1 through 6 of 20 Sides and I'm sorry 1 through 7 of 20 Sides and Improvised all the way up through the end of the Venom Fang arc. So hell yeah, guys, what's going on?
Yay!
Dude, yeah. I'm so happy that we're doing this.
I know, I'm very glad to be here. And this is actually a very cool setup. I've got a mic I don't have to worry about clipped to me, and I can monitor what it sounds like in one ear. This is rad!
Yeah!
This works real damn well for me.
We're learning.
We're learning!
But don't get too excited.
Oh my God, no. I'm keeping...
The audio quality only slowly gets better.
Slowly.
Slowly.
Slowly. That's one thing that I feel like I want to talk about is the fact that the audio quality for those first few episodes, yikes.
That's a good thing to start with is like, you know, I mean, we only had like a couple parts.
Yeah.
You come up with the idea of like, hey, let's record this.
Yeah, and I literally just bring in a USB microphone that I've got, and I'm just like, let's sit in the middle of the table and we'll just do what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Quickly realizing that's not feasible for exactly what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so cool. But yeah, I know that let's go all the way back, my friends, where we all met doing, I met you two doing improv with Wizards of Odd.
You also met Naheem, though.
No, I met Naheem. I met Naheem doing 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Yeah, we did play together.
That was super fun. I got Vice Principal Panch, and you were Mitch Mahoney. We talked about this recently, that you were just like, man... fucking hate Mitch Mahoney.
yeah. We never talked about that until like a week ago.
Yeah, that was wild too.
During the experience of the play, he thought that was, you know, it was a good time, but I hated it. No, I didn't hate it. It was just like I didn't like the character I was playing, but I accepted it. I was just like, okay, let me play with this character 100%. I wanted his character. That was the thing. I was auditioning for Garrett's character, and then you know.
So Garrett got it?
Huh?
So Garrett got the part?
Yeah, Garrett got the part. And then it was just like, oh, well, you know, I'm this character that I did not want. Like, this is the character that I absolutely didn't want if I even had to, you know.
So were you guys friends at first or no?
No, we were cool. Like, I mean, it wasn't like I, like I hated him or anything like that. It was just like, oh, man, this dude got my fucking part.
You know,
like, and then like, I recently just told him, like, oh, yeah, by the way, I didn't like that you had got that part. he always brings it back. Like, when we be talking and stuff like that, he'd be like, yeah, man, what's up, man? Did he say the character's names?
Okay, because we improv'd that one stupid-ass joke that I loved because it was so dumb. Because your character's name was Mitch Mahoney, and then I'm playing... like this white as fuck vice principal dude.
Oh yeah, that's what it was.
And like, I have a freak out, you drag me off stage, and then I come back with like a juice pouch. I'm like, man, you are Mitch Mahoney. And then you're just like,
oh my god,
no. And then like, send me back to my seat. Whereas like, I lost
yeah, and he always called me Mitch Mahoney. He always called me like, Mitch Mahoney.
Look, it was a dumbass joke and I love it because it's terrible.
No, yeah no, I get it. That's why I recently just told him, like, oh yeah, man, I just remember, I forgot like the beginning of this, I hated it. Like, I hated everything about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how long ago was that for you two?
God, that was like 2017, 18?
Yeah, maybe 16.
Okay. Maybe 17. So right before Wizards of Oz started.
Right before Wizards, and then I met you two.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did our whole thing. We did improv shows together a few times, and it was around that time that I started DMing. So, like, when we started recording, I was relatively fresh.
Nice.
Yeah, because, like, I remember I had run... we'd run The Lost Minds of Phendelver with you guys, and then it was around... by the time we finished it, I was just like, I think we should record this.
Yeah.
Because it was...
we were hilarious.
It was consistently wild, just... My God.
That was your third time, you said, of Minds of Phendalen.
I think it was... Was that the third time I ran? I ran it through once as a player, once for my fan... I ran it with you guys and my siblings around the same time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was running them at the same time, so that was like...
So you had something to compare it to. It's like, this is how the Minds usually go, and then these guys are absolutely...
Yeah. Yeah,
not following the rules.
I mean, that's the funny thing too. Like, you guys were the ones that I had way more fun with because there's actually party cohesion here. Whereas the other ones, they're my brothers. And then like, I've got my brother Ryan. I love him so much, but he was also playing like. Imagine like when Daisy's at his like being like super edgy and he's like had a really bad day. Like when Daisy's in a bad place, Ryan played that character, but was just like that all the time. So there was no, because like where you can play Daisy as edgy, but you have like a funness to it and a softness to it, and you can like bring a lot of humor and like lightheartedness to that aspect of him. Ryan was kind of just playing just this brooding drow assassin the entire time, and I was just like, okay, buddy.
That'd be fun though.
It can be fun, yeah, but like he didn't bring the charm to it that you can with Daisy when Daisy's in like a bad spot. He was just like, I'm gonna be Sasuke, but Sasuke all the time.
Oh my god.
It was like, oh, okay, buddy. But he was...
I like it though. I mean, I like it. I personally like it. I like the idea of that. I think it could work.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be very, very fun.
Yeah, I think it could work. I personally think it could work.
I think you could pull it off really well.
I think you could. I've seen you do it. But the other thing I was saying, like, yeah, the episodes we're releasing have been around for like
2 years.
2 years. We started recording this like almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting going back because it's like I get to listen to this all over again.
Yeah.
And like experience it from the very beginning. So we're essentially like catching up with the show because we've forgotten half the shit.
It's kind of fun. I love being surprised by the shit we've done.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That we did that.
I did say this.
God, we're hilarious. Yeah.
What was okay? So like, I'll go through. What were the things that surprised you guys the most that you completely forgot?
Mine was, I forgot that there were goblins, that helped us out fight. I forgot that we, gathered armor, that Mogwai peed himself. So I'm listening to that scene and listening to, Like, I think it gets worse, like, my dialect looking for Mogwai, because I was trying to, I was still fleshing out Mogwai.
Yeah.
So, he is kind of who he was, but as episodes get on, he starts changing his dialect, because I was looking for a Mario-Mickey Mouse mix. Yeah. And I liked how I pronounced Spelsch. But that pronunciation of Spelsch starts turning into, like, a borderline accent that I shouldn't.
Yeah.
So
I think it's like maybe episode 3 or 4. I cut out a portion where AJ was just like, "Hey, real quick."
Okay. I was wondering. I was waiting for that. So there's some point that you cut out for us when Alex had to correct me.
Yes. Yeah. And this is and for anyone who's not aware, this is a heavily edited show. I cut out a lot of shit.
That's good.
But some of the really best bits I say, like I think in the beginning of episode 5, there was this bit where I was like, 20 Sites and Improvise brought to you by, and then Justin chimes in with, "Ants!" And I was like, fuck it, I'm keeping that. Nice. Then that turned into like a bumper for, I think, episode 4.
Cool.
Yeah. Or something like that.
I was wondering who said that.
The Colony of the Future.
Yeah.
That was you, yeah.
Ants, the Colony of the Future. Join the collective.
Yeah, that's like, cute. You guys are really cute with that.
Yeah, that was a very fun, just like, very candid moment that I was just like, cut, paste, place.
Yeah.
Nice.
I had forgotten, like, what a fucking gem the relationship between Daisy and Terry was.
Oh man.
It's
right.
So good.
God, oh, Terry. Because
I remember watching your face make Terry.
Yes. Oh, mwah, chef's kiss.
Because it was, like, the 15th NPC. We were like, "What's your name?"
Yeah. What's your name? What's your name?
What's your deal? What's your life story?
Just watching your face. I remember watching your face create that. And then Daisy, the just relationship. One, the relationship you made with Terry. And two, the fucking speeches you have given throughout Terry. And I remembered you tore Michael down, but I didn't remember how good that was.
That was...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. That was like, I was waiting to hear that part. I love that
phenomenal.
Part. That was one of my favorite parts. I loved every fucking minute of that. Me going into the Dragon's Castle, because when I went in there, I was just, I remember Garrett just being like, "Oh, yeah, he's going to the Dragon's Castle." And I was just going to spy on him. And he was like, "He's going to the Dragon's Castle." And I was like, "Okay, well, you know, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. Let's go." So I was scared. Very scared.
You were awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I was very scared. But I had to handle it like, you know, like chill.
You did it beautifully. And the dice just like really got with you on that one.
Chill. Yeah, yeah. I had to handle that one chill.
Yeah, that, you pulled that. Just the fucking audacity. Did you even come up to me and think that you can take me
on? Can I please have your dice magic?
Yeah. Yeah, that was one surprise.
It's really not even my dice. It's really the my hit, like my charisma modifier that just goes along with it. Because I roll that with mostly everything. Yeah. So that's really like what helps me out. But that plus the 4.
You got a hot hand.
Of, proficiency.
Yeah, you
do.
You got a
hot hand, bro.
No, so really I only need like 10 to get 20. Like,
yeah.
I really only need.
Well, that's developed relatively recently because you guys like just got to level 9 where we're playing.
Exactly, right. But like that's how.
And in the arc that we finished, you guys just got to level 6. So you got 3 levels on your characters from what we're listening to right now.
Oh, yeah.
Which I know boosts your proficiency too, but considering the fact that, if I remember correctly, you rolled an 18, AJ, when you were rolling up Sanguine for your charisma, and I think you got like a 16, which then you boosted to an 18, because you guys both got like 20 in your spellcasting mod pretty early on.
Oh, I was 20 right at the beginning, because I added my 2 plus charisma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember we were sitting sitting at the damn Whistle Post Tavern.
I remember that
in
day.
In Conyers, when we were just like, "All right, let's do this. Let's roll some shit up." And then, like, I think we just went around, because I only had one pair of dice. It was a wee Bobby DM.
Yeah.
And then I was just, like, handing dice around to each of you guys, and we rolled it. I remember each of you. Then we got to you, AJ, and you're just like, 6? Okay, cool. 6. All right. Well, you put that in charisma.
Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. That's the that set of dice. Cuz it was my blue dice that I got from my brother. He gave me my first set of dice. Mm-hmm. And that was like the one they did me well throughout our first campaign, and then the second one is like betray you.
Yes.
Like, such hard betray you.
They're even in a dungeon jail to this day.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
God, she put them in a dungeon jail at my house, and, like, it's in a cup. It's in a,
Oh, no, I took them out.
Rocky and Bullwinkle
cup. I took
cup.
Them out because it was, like, months later, and I was like, all right, did you guys learn your lesson? Because we saged them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I just recently culled my dice, and as you see, only two of them made it.
Yeah, that's wild. I got my, Justin's got a very interesting sort of, like, collection of dice where he's separating them by like whatever sided they are. And that's, I don't know, that's an interesting.
Yeah.
There's a drawing there.
I can't read that, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was gonna ask the audience some questions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, later.
Later?
Later. I was like, hey, now that you guys listen to us, if you want to give us some feedback about you guys. And my first question was, if you have bad dice, what are the things that you do to help change its aura? Or,
interesting. Okay. Yeah, okay. You know,
get some feedback from the audience.
Sure. I almost cried.
Yeah. But anyways.
Oh, that was rough.
But I hate to go back, but I just want to say one experience that I really enjoyed when we first started getting was when we were going to the Whistle Post.
Mm-hmm.
My first experience with Naheem was we played this game together, and I was really depressed at the time, and Naheem pulled me out of it, and then we went to the Whistle Post right after that, and you're like, hey, let's create some characters, and Naheem orders a pitcher of sweet tea for himself. And then he's like, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to be a stripper.
Yes.
I want to be a teacher. I want to be
a clown.
I want to be a clown. And I'm like talking to Alex and Garrett. And Lord, just Alex. I was like, dude, you got to choose a lane. Like, here I am, like trying to limit Naheem.
Yeah.
And I learned very quickly, never limit the Naheem.
Never limit Naheem.
Because, like, what came out of it,
is Daisy Duke, Daisy Realm Destroyer. Duke. Like, honestly, that has been, like, the thing. If someone asked me, like, oh, hey, you're DM, right? Well, what's some of the funnest stuff that you've heard? Daisy Duke, Realm Destroyer.
It's so beautiful.
Is that a name? Yes.
Is that an oxymoron? Yes. Yes.
So beautiful.
But anyways, so back to, sorry, I didn't mean to go back, but that was one of my favorite parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was so much fun, and just, it's been really great to transition, because we're like kind of transitioning from doing shit like from modules. In terms of, like, the game that is the episodes that are coming out now,
mm-hmm.
it's the transition from the modules to more homebrew stuff. And, like, 7 onward is when things start to go much heavier in the, like, yeah, no, I made most of this up. With the exception of, like, you know, some NPCs that are definitely owned by Wizards of the Coast. But it's because some group of fuckers keeps adopting them. and sometimes making them out of thin air, Justin. Which...
Yeah.
We'll get to them eventually.
Yeah. But
I'm amazed at the fact that, like...
I'm looking for somebody, okay? Who? This. All right, well, now I'm going to be best friends.
Roll, like, okay, God. Oh, this person's suddenly important. What's their name? Which is amazing. Also, Terry, of course, like, we mentioned Terry. You and Terry are just fucking ride or die, Naheem.
It's the odd couple.
I love it so much.
I love Terry.
Yeah. Yeah, Terry is one of my favorites because I have to give so little effort to him. But what I think we can do, because we wanted to keep this probably close to 30-ish minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to go ahead and pull up the questions that were sent to us by our good boy, Logan.
Yay.
Logan.
So, yes, thank you, Logan Arnold, for suggesting this to us. And for listening. Oh, he's one of the 12 of you. but I'm going to go kind of just in order, and he has a question for each of you, which is great. So, Justin, Logan's question for you is there a particular reason that you try to stay in character as much as possible? And also, what is Mogwai's skin in the game? Why does he continue to adventure after setting up a home for him and his family?
I do apologize. I got the first half of the question. I'll ask for the second half of the question.
Go for it. You good?
The first half of this question. He's his skin color is a stone color. he's gray, actually. Mogwai is a gray stone rock looking character, and the reason why I go back into character is because. Justin's not playing Mogwai. Mogwai's playing with Justin, you know?
Okay.
I like that.
it's just easier for me to make decisions as Mogwai if I'm fully into character, because I guess I've never really talked. Except for when I'm asking like specific questions in this voice.
I mean, you guys are very, in general too, you guys are very good at like discerning what's in character and what's out of character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, because I know you'll even ask questions in Mogwai's voice, which is really interesting.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah, I've heard you do it, especially going back and listening to the audio.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Like literally any and all thoughts. Or most thoughts are projected in character, which is very interesting and super, super cool to listen to. But so is it more so just a tool for you to like kind of help stay in the scene in the game?
Yeah, it is definitely a tool. It just, again, it keeps my mindset in that as that character, to perceive things as that character, instead of like, 'cause I still want Justin to have fun. Mm-hmm. But like it really is like it's just what is Mogwai gonna do, you know? And Justin's just here for the ride, dude.
Fair enough.
I'm just here for the ride. Yeah. What was the second part of the question?
Why does he continue to adventure even though he has a place set up for himself and his family?
Oh wow, great question. So I have a place. I even addressed this.
I think you did. Yeah, briefly,
yeah, because I was like, well, I need to go back to my base, and this Dragon Quest is. I said I only have 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I have 2 weeks. You guys helped me get my family. You guys seem like you want me to tag along. And it was at this moment where I was actually going to change characters.
I remember that. We had an entire... It was a Dragonborn Paladin line.
Dragonborn Paladin, who was like Courage, the lion from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I remember. Dungrim was his name.
And yes, fantastic character, a lot of fun. And I allowed Mogwai to make the choice of, because I really wanted to play Dungrim, and honestly, I wanted to play Dungrim because I was worried that these two were going to die. So I was like, they need help with someone who can help defend. Mm-hmm. But honestly, we survived this long, and I'm really glad that we stayed here. And I chose Mogwai to go along that path, and Mogwai wanted to go to keep his friends happy.
Thanks, buddy.
I like that. Very nice. Okay, and that's really cool. All right, so I will. I'm going to move along now. But if you have more thoughts on that, please feel free to chime in. So for AJ Sanguine,
yes.
The question that was brought to you is, what color tiefling is Sanguine?
So Sanguine, her appearance is inspired by a painter named Lena Victor, who does these just gorgeous portraits. So Sanguine's skin tone is black. The tips of her horns are like the tiniest bit of crimson red. She has blue hair and complete gold eyes. And that is, sorry, I realize I speak the softest.
You use the quiet one.
Yeah, so I remember looking at Lena Victor's artwork on Instagram and just the color schemes, the blue, the black, the gold she uses. So she paints women, like these African queens are just beautiful. And I was like, that's kind of the energy I want Sanguine to exude.
Okay.
And I just also fucking love her artwork. Like, it's gorgeous.
Gotcha. So she's a very dark-skinned tiefling. Okay. Cool, cool, cool. And then his other question, which is something that is hilarious because we most certainly get into it in the next couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. What do we know about Sanguine's family? Which, all of us sitting here at the table, we know a good bit about Sanguine's family. So this is one of those things that's so interesting looking back, realizing that like how much of this was kind of kept as a mystery. And more of it will be revealed the longer this goes on.
So yeah, how to answer this? So, what do we know about Sanguine's family? So, we know that her mother was a harper and a priestess of Maestra, and she lived in some tiny, tiny town. I don't remember which one. Near Dornish Khan.
Yeah, Dornish Khan. I believe it was. It was a place outside of Helmshold.
Oh yeah. Okay, so outside of Helmshold. Anyway, her father it was never revealed to Sanguine growing up who her father was, but it was clear that he's a demon. She just didn't know which. And her father kind of possessing her mom was the reason Sanguine was born and the reason why her mom went into a kind of exile. She was kicked out of the Harpers and I think out of the temple as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Sanguine went on, like, it wasn't really a journey to figure out who her dad was, but she was like, "What's up, gods? Who's my dad?" And they were like, "Here's a hint."
Mm-hmm. That was all before we started recording.
That was straight. That was, yeah, that was way before. Like, that was our last session.
That was the last thing I think we said before mic started rolling.
And so Sanguine is trying to just kind of figure out. I don't know if she's trying to figure out how true that is, because I think she believes it to be true.
Yeah. At least in this up to this point.
Up till this point.
Because like where we're at in the story, we fucking know.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
it's a big fucking
deal.
And
some of us have known from the very beginning.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have no doubt that if everyone starts picking up, it'll be someone who eventually pieces it together before anything, like, anything becomes official while in the show.
Yeah, I think that's as far as I can say for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, her mom was pretty badass.
She was. Like, her mom's pretty badass. Saren was a cool-ass chick.
Yeah, it was Saren, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Right.
Hell yeah. So
thanks
I'm,
for the question.
Yeah. Thank you, Logan. And this last one, this is interesting because this is also one that we'll go, we go a little bit more into.
Yeah.
And this last one for Daisy, for Naheem. So it's interesting. There's a sort of concept wondering if you intentionally, like, maybe gave Daisy aspects of someone with, like, ADHD, or if that's maybe something that you... if that was something that you did intentionally, just like, I'm giving this character ADHD, or if it's sort of just, like, your own natural kind of, like, thinking, like, on super fucking fast.
It's the second one.
Yeah.
I didn't think about ADHD. I'd just be thinking and...
That's just
be doing stuff.
That's just Naheem. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So, like, there's any, he was also wondering, like, is there any other, like, neurodivergent condition that Daisy might have? Because there's this sort of, this interesting thing, there's, whenever you're listening to it, there is clear.
He definitely has, like, psychological, you know.
There's
like,
definitely problem. Something, yeah.
Definitely. There's definitely, like, things wrong with him.
Because in my mind, it's almost like Daisy has kind of, like, is almost rejecting a lot of reality and the fact, and then is trying to like shape his own.
He's definitely hyper delusional.
Like, yeah, definitely. That's fair.
Definitely because he viewed his father as like a good guy. All the wars that he's been going through and stuff like that. He viewed his father as a good guy, but he's not really a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Daisy's kind of like seeing that now, but he sees his mother though as like a saint. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of like still kind of like confused on like why she's with why.
Yeah, well, because there's another really interesting thing that like there's the sort of idea that a lot of people I've heard like there are sometimes people who come in with characters and just like my character defeated a dragon in single combat and saved 30 princesses and was crowned in 13 kingdoms. I have 8 hit points type thing. Which is interesting because I think you and I, because Daisy almost has like a very longer backstory than one would expect for someone when we started off at like at level 1 to level 5. And I feel like we've kind of, where we're at now, have kind of brushed up against why that is. A sort of an implication that like, when Daisy was directly under his father's rule, he was stronger. So, yeah. Like, when Daisy was immediately attached to and under his father's thumb, you had more power, but you sort of eschewed that to be like, no, fuck you, I'm going on my own, and brought you to the form of, like, a tiefling, or, like, a mortal.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm raising my own power.
Yeah, you're doing
but
it on your
but
own.
But I know a power that I'm getting to, though. I know the power that I'm getting to.
Yeah.
Get something even stronger.
Hell yeah. and there was actually, he had one more question for you, Daisy, as well, which is really fun, because this is something that we kind of touch on later on as well. Since his relationship with his father is so strained, how does that affect the way he treats his own children, namely Bandon?
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's weird because, like, Daisy, like, he really does not like his kid. Like, he does, like, no, he genuinely does. Like, he genuinely, like, has this, like, oh, this is a bastard. Like, this is, like, because that's the way he was raised. He's like, oh, he's just my bastard.
Yeah.
And,
did you, won't matter.
But then he sees, like, oh, this kid's actually, like, he's a little too soft anyway. So it makes, but, like, I, like, but he can't help but, like, want to protect him, though, at the same time. So he's like, oh, I can't help but want to protect him, but. He sees him as just like, yeah, he doesn't like him. He doesn't like him. He doesn't. He thinks he's like very, very soft and stuff like that. But I don't think his father's relationship affects, like, Daisy is still like, we already just said that he's like delusional, so he doesn't like see him being his father at all. So he doesn't. He doesn't even like. That's not even a thought in his head about this kid, because he really wants to spend as less time with this kid as possible.
Okay.
You know.
I feel like a lot of it could be kind of like, it feels like Daisy's in denial for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. He just kind of just like looks at whatever he, whatever reality he wants. Like, whatever the reality he wants, he's like, okay, I'm going for that reality. That's the reality that I'm going for regardless.
That is really interesting.
Prime choice.
Yeah, no, that, which is really, really great too, because especially, like, again, the longer we've played, the more apparent it's become. The, like, when you look at Daisy's actions from the outside, it was just like, this guy's just fucking nuts. But then you will sit down and you'll tell us, like, your thought process for why he did what he did.
Yeah.
And we're just like, fuck, you've really thought this through. That actually made a lot of sense, which is super cool, especially, like, later on when, like, some more off the wall shit eventually does happen.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah. So, like, it's really cool, because, like, I love the fact that, like, Daisy feels like such chaos incarnate, but it's apparent that you have put a lot of, like, the time in
very
figuring
grounded.
It out.
He's very grounded, like, regardless.
He's not, like, just like, oh, this guy's just crazy to be crazy. He's like, nah, he's thought this. There is purpose to this.
Especially now.
Oh, yeah.
Can I give an example of that?
Yes, please.
You know, the elf in the room, or I should say dragon in the room, when the dragon first... Is this the first time he's introduced to us?
Yeah.
When the dragon first flies towards us, we're all trying to escape, and then Daisy stops, turns around, and flies towards the dragon. Well, we're going to bring it up. You know we're going to bring it up.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Like, that stuff right there, I don't regret it. Like, I'm just like, yeah.
Not me neither, honestly.
Yeah, I'm going to do this because, like, that's what he'll do. And he's a hero.
Right.
And then, like, the
intention was to figure out what's going on. You know, it's like, hey, what's going on? Like, because Daisy's not afraid.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What? Why are we running away from this? Am I right?
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly where my head was.
So he's
going to
confront
it. Like, away with this or that. I remember my reaction was I wanted to do the anime reaction where he's like, oh, is that a dragon? And I was going to run towards it. Like, I wasn't going to. That was always going to be my plan.
Were you intending to fight him, or were you?
No, I wasn't gonna fight. I was just wanted to speak to him. Just like, bro, what's going on, bro? Like, we could just, like, my whole thing with Venom Fang was like, hey, bro, I just want to just talk to this dragon and tell him, like, hey, you don't have to be evil. We could just chill out, smoke some herbs, have a good time. That was my whole intentions with this dragon. And then you guys talking about assassinating and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, oh man, these tensions are rising between everybody because I think the dragon's trying to end the world, and then, you know, Sanguine's not gonna be up for that shit. You know?
Yeah, she's not.
You know, I'm kind of down with a little bit of murder, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what Daisy is. He's like, he's down. Like, you know, when he's fighting Benefang, but he's like, but these are my homies, so I'm gonna have to protect my homies. So,
we're like 3 days into recording. I thought we were gonna be murdered. I was like, there's, I guess, like, I immediately started creating a new character. That's when I was like, I'm done. That's when Dungrim started to formulate. And I was like,
hilarious.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Because we're screwed. Because if he's killed, Mogwai's not going to stand for that. He's going to start fighting. And I was like, this is where we're going to die.
Yeah.
But
that guy even made a joke.
Got his way out of it.
That was you. You are so. It's kind of similar to like Aang from Last Airbender.
Yes.
He is equally good at getting himself in and out of trouble.
Yeah.
Like, he can do both of those things with an amazing amount of proficiency. Which is so fucking rad. And also, like, Venom Fang, as I'm going back and listening to it, there are these moments where I'm going to catch up things where, like, I could have done better as a DM.
Mm.
Which is what? What do you think you could have done better as a DM?
So there are a lot of things. I mean, it's very clear that I'm very early on into it, and I'm hoping that I am proven wrong by my word choices. But I use a lot of the same words, descriptors a lot, because I'm kind of falling back on it, falling into a groove. And it's interesting to now listen back to it. But in terms of things I realized I could have done better, and the idea popped into my head almost immediately when I was like doing editing of how I could have done that. I should have made Venom Fang a more interesting villain, as opposed to just like, he's evil. He's an evil green dragon.
Well, you did intend for us to spend a week on him.
No, I really didn't. I kind of
exactly. But my head is just like, oh yeah, you know what? I want to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
I want to see what's going on in his head.
And I honestly wish I had let you delve more into that, because there was a moment after you had like torn down Michael so thoroughly and became the leader of the cult. Like as I'm finishing that up, and I was like, "Fuck! How much more interesting would it have been if Venom Fang was like so impressed by it? He approaches you for like, hey, how do I do that?
That would be because
he was a young dragon. He would have like had to be all prideful and like try to frame it in such a way where like he's commanding you to teach him how to be a badass and like destroy people's spirits That would have been so much fun.
I would have hung out with him.
Definitely. You totally would have. And like
had like a whole fucking 80s montage.
It goes from herb to coke.
Which like I'm sorry. It was only upon listening to these episodes again that I know I told you that I realized that we tried to poison a poison dragon.
you tried to tell us this.
I did.
I'm listening
and, like,
to the podcast.
It only just like sunk in.
Yeah, after listening to it, I'm on the same boat. I'm sorry to interrupt.
You're good.
Listening, I was like, we were not smart. Set on poisoning this dude.
Natural.
Amazing.
Proclivity against
poison. I just want to say, I wish I had a question for you. What I wanted to get to was, you are such a fantastic DM. I've told her about it multiple times, and I've given examples, but the only example that I can remember right now is when we were battling. We were stuck in a situation, and how I would have addressed it, I would have confronted, like, you guys, let's move along. Mm-hmm. But how you allow it is you allow us to interact with it, and then you guide us without interrupting, but you guide it through your storytelling. So you may call yourself a new DM, and I'm a new DM player, but you really fantastically guide us through very well.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Fantastic DM.
Struck my ego more as we do one last note. thank you guys. That's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But we are about 37 minutes into this, and I know that we are itching to pick up from where we last left off. So hopefully this was an interesting little tidbit of insight into the 20 Sides crew and everything from episode 1 through episode 7.
Yay!
And we will talk to you all next time. And for now,
please send questions.
Oh, please send questions. You can actually, give us
a call. Yeah, if you have any questions, you can send them to us at our Instagram, which is brain.cake.yt. So if you have any questions for either us as characters, us as a group, us as people, send them on. We'd love to get them and respond to them in the next one of these little talking heads things that we do.
Yeah, I mean, we'll figure out when that's going to be, but...
And can I just real quick? Yeah, and questions for you guys. If you do have bad dice, what do you do to your bad dice? Do you put them in a jail? Do you replace them altogether? Tell us what you do to your bad dice. I might be stepping out of line or anything, but what are some places that you would like us to go to?
Get out of my room right now.
Yeah. Favorite villains or heroes and stuff like that.
Yes.
Just hear from the audience.
I'm going to start a poll. It's going to be they're going to have to fight either Optimus Prime, Skeletor, or He-Man without his loincloth.
Wow!
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Goodbye, and keep listening to 20 Sides. Thanks for listening to us talk tables. Just a reminder that if you have any questions you want to ask us, submit them to the Instagram, brain.cake.yt. You'll remember it eventually. I know I will.
Also, remember to keep an eye out for the little special episode of How You Holdin' Up, the interpersonal interview review show. That'll be out in 2 weeks, so mark your calendars. And finally, 20 Sides and Improvised Proper will return on October 3rd with Episode 8, followed shortly 2 weeks later by Episode 9. We'll keep you posted. Now stay tuned. All across this plain, people are celebrating. The return of Phandalin's heroes brings spirits to new heights, and the spirits of their glasses even higher. Our party finds themselves in a well-earned, comfortable rest. Daisy, sprawled out beneath the stars, cuddles next to his deathless wolf, whose body emanates the heat of a small furnace. Mogwai shifts in his bedroll. The solid earth beneath him and the all-encompassing darkness pulls him into a cozy, comfortable sleep. Sanguine sleeps soundly, her arms wrapped around her now fiancé. What began as a tryst a few years back has grown into a home, a place of comfort, a commitment. Sildar and Garuk sit in the Stonehill Inn, their flagons perpetually filled by eager townsfolk, wishing to hear tales of battle and glory. Neither are particularly fond of the excessive attention, though Sildar knows better than to turn down free drinks. He downs his last cider of the evening, his motions and thoughts beginning to slow. He's done. One last job, finally finished. He smiles despite himself, thinking of the gold and, though he loathes to admit it, friends he's made. His adventuring days are done, but the festival is just about to begin. Garuk sips his ale, his mind lost, tumbling over the conversation with Rufus. It was as if Rufus had forgotten that he was the one who sent Garuk here, the one who let him return. There was a sadness in his eyes, as if speaking to a long-lost friend. What did Rufus know that Garuk didn't? A lot of things, he figured. For now, all he knows for certain is he trusts Rufus, and that will have to be enough. Upstairs, Rufus Crumbledore and his simulacrum counterpart bid their last goodnights to a gaggle of children, begging to see just one more magic trick. The wizards close the door to their room as the disappointed crowd shuffles downstairs. One child stays behind, hoping her persistence will be rewarded with just one last showing of magical prowess. She gets her wish, as a flash of arcane energy illuminates the underside of the door. The young girl, ever the curious one, peers beneath, to find no sign of the wizards within. Miles away, in the ruins of Thunder Tree, the remnants of the Kragmaw tribe stand around the headless corpse of Venomfang. They chant in unison, singing the praises of the adventurers who freed them. One goblin, dressed in makeshift robes, his ears bound and weighted, stands atop the lifeless dragon and preaches the newly found religion of St. Droop. All across this plain, people are celebrating, blissfully unaware of the malignance, long banished and barred, taking its first unabated steps into this world.
Brain cake.